right, here we go. What should I do and how should I do it? I got a problem and I gotta get through it. Who should I talk to? Who should I see? What book should I check out of the library? Yeah, but I don't read, so I watch some TV. I see what Hulu has to offer me. I got Netflix and Amazon Prime. I got more options than I got time. I just need a little distraction to keep my mind off my lack of action. I just need a little TV so I can forget completely. Forget completely.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life's a Binge. I am Jared.
I'm BJ.
And I'm Rich.
You know, that's the best sound, like,
for, really is.
For all my life. Like, the sound of a can opening. Can of soda.
I'm going to counter with
can
that.
Can of beer.
So I used to work at a place where the guy would drink an unhealthy amount of Diet Pepsi.
Uh-huh.
Like, more than anyone should drink.
Out of the can?
In, 12
in
a, pack
in a
day,
week,
yeah.
Let alone a day.
Right, right. A pack a day, guys.
And my desk was in, like, the common area, so right across from the fridge. So whenever I would hear behind me, I know he was, like, looking over my shoulder what I was doing. And it would happen at least 8 times a day.
Oh man.
That's too much soda.
That's a bit much.
It's addicting. It's addicting.
Yes. Obviously.
Straight up addicting.
It is a fantastic sound, though. But thank you, everyone out there, for listening to our show. You can follow us on all social media at Life's a Binge across all social media platforms. You can email us at lifesabinge@gmail.com. If you want to send us a voicemail, you can at 619-438-0532. And if you want to be a sponsor of our show, you can head over to patreon.com/Life's a Binge and become a producer like Big Daddy Moneybags, Tyler Bro, Jessica Jansen, Kathy Weintraub, or a couch potato or honorary binger.
Thanks, guys.
Patreon.com/Life's a Binge.
Binging honorarily.
Become a subscriber today. But with all that being said, let's go ahead and start the show. So take a big breath with us right now.
Life's a Binge. Bow, 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 bow,
bow. Right?
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
Take a little swig. It's not the same, but. The goose and goblins.
Being scary because it's Halloween.
I had one of those.
This is Halloween.
It wasn't a wreath, but it was one of those things that like hung on the door handle, so whenever it felt any kind of vibration, it would do the. But it was like way too sensitive, so I'd just be walking down the hall, and 10 feet away, and he goes.
Remember the sound of Halloween from the 90s, and it was just that like high pitched.
Yep. I don't know if I know.
Yeah.
What was it from?
Anything.
Like, anything.
Any sound just, effect at all.
So like on TV.
No.
Like a toy or a decoration. Or,
oh, okay.
Like yeah. Any decoration always had that same sound effect. It was just like high pitch, low pitch, high pitch, low pitch, over and over and over again. Anyway.
Yep.
Halloween. We had our Halloween party. That's okay. Everyone
was not
did.
Partying.
Everybody did.
Everyone did. Everybody. You know who was here? Mikey P was here.
At a guy.
Because of course he was.
Mikey P.
Happy birthday.
Is the greatest is human being
just,
on earth.
Should we just take a couple minutes and just
it's Mikey P's birthday.
Sing it to him right now?
How great of a human being Mikey P is.
Happy
since it's his birthday.
To you.
No, I was joking.
We do not need to sing happy birthday.
Oh, Mikey, let me just say that that's 2-1. I was voting for your birthday, man.
We can, if you want to sing happy birthday, we can sing it. We're probably going to get sued by the happy birthday police.
Though. Oh, yeah, we're not supposed to do that.
No, we can now.
Why?
Because it's changed. Now you can put it in TVs and movies.
Really?
Now. Yeah.
The happy birthday song?
Yeah.
All right. Happy birthday to you,
Mikey P.
Happy birthday to you,
Mikey P.
Happy birthday, dear Mikey P. Happy birthday to you. And many more. So it's Mikey P's birthday today, and we're it's officially Halloween tomorrow.
Yes,
right on.
But we had our Halloween party, and it was a lot of fun. Everyone that showed up had a good time.
That's amazing.
And yeah.
Do you think it's better if Halloween is on a weekend?
Yes.
I think it makes it easier.
I disagree.
Sure. You'd rather it be like where it is this year?
Yes, because there's people going around thinking that they want to change Halloween to be the last Saturday of October.
That's
like a petition to make a fit, like, you know how like Thanksgiving's the last Thursday in November?
Right.
They want Halloween to be the last Saturday of October.
I'm not down with that.
Now, is the 31st?
How's that Jameson, P?
What's up, Mike Tyson?
33rd.
Basically, I told these Jamesons, man. You know, it's Razor Ruddock. Basically, he hit me in the head like a mule kick. Basically.
That's pretty good.
That was pretty good.
I'm working on my Tyson.
That was pretty good.
Practicing your Tyson in the mirror.
What were you going to say about the 31st?
Is there like a reason why it's that day and it can't be...
I'm sure
like Christmas is a specific day. Easter's Easter floats too.
I'm sure it's rooted in some sort of tradition somewhere that I don't know.
Some pagan ritual that we still
follow. But you wonder if it's like a specific day of the year because of something, or if it's a time of the year because of something.
I'm sure there's
changing
a
of the seasons type
it's
of thing.
It's not a solstice. It's not a solstice.
No,
isn't it?
No,
it's not a solstice.
Sort of. I don't know.
But anyway, so there's like people that want to change it officially to be the last Saturday of every month, and I'm like, or of October, and I'm like, boo to that. It's the 31st, and I have people asking on because I'm in like a La Mesa neighborhood Facebook group or whatever, and like there's people going like, is trick or treating this weekend or is it on?
It's a good question.
The 31st? No, it is not a good question.
It's on
people
the 31st.
Are saying that it is. Always on the 31st. There might be some like
when else would it be?
There might be some like church groups or other places
or
that might be like a trunk or treat thing that might happen on the weekend. But trick or treating is always. I was the first person to comment, and I said,
"Of course,
isn't it always?" Because
I think people.
The answer
always...
is yes.
That's a ridiculous question.
It is a ridiculous question.
Well, it's one that's been asked for many, many years because people. I think people like, especially because of these school night. Halloween.
It doesn't matter.
I'm down.
Suck it up, Buttercup.
It's always on the 31st.
You'll
get to school in plenty of time on Candy Power.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, but just it's dark at like 6 o'clock. So if you want to wait until dark,
and you're gonna take away Halloween day from kids in school.
Right.
That's messed up.
It is nice.
That was
it
the
is nice
best,
to dress up.
That was
in school.
The best day.
Yeah. You
the
dress best up. Day. You get candy. It's fun.
Yeah, man.
Every year, man.
But trick or treating is always 31st.
Yeah.
Slutty kitty every year.
A slutty kitty?
That was me every year.
Nice.
Slutty nurse sometimes, but mainly slutty.
Always a slutty kitty.
Slutty kitty.
So I was just like, come on, people. It's the 31st always. So tomorrow, Halloween, we are looking forward to sitting down. And
did you have Halloween? You did. You've been here for more than a year.
Yes, we did Halloween last year.
And that was the first one?
Yes.
How was the turnout?
Very good.
So you got a lot of
kids. We have a gigantic cauldron that's filled with candy, and I think we were down to like a quarter of it left.
Last year?
Yeah. All right. It's just cranking out. And, you know, we do have pretty good decorations. We didn't go all out this year, but we got the skeleton family out in front.
Still looks pretty good.
Yeah. We got the skeleton family out front.
I'd say pretty
graveyard
good.
Graveyard going.
It's definitely subjective.
Big yeah, spider I'd say wood. It looks damn good.
Thank you, sir.
Pretty good.
So, yeah, we're going to sit out front tomorrow and give out some candy.
That's the thing I miss about living in a house is trick-or-treaters.
What are you guys going to do?
We'll probably go have some pizza, watch a scary movie, drink some beer.
Word.
Go to, like, Red Wing or something since it's right around the
corner. I'll be doing all those things.
We're giving out candy.
On the front porch.
But we're going to – this year – Halloween's been a fun little tradition. I've been going across the street and hanging out for, like, an hour with the neighbors across the street, Jim and Stephanie, and then Matt and Anya are little
down,
triangle
yeah.
there over there. And so we decided that we're going to combine, Andrea and I are going to combine a site with theirs and just do one big bowl and then all of us around it with all of our pumpkins over there. So mainly so we don't have to each have our own candy thing so we can make sure we have plenty of candy all night.
Nice.
But North Park probably doesn't have as many kids as like La Mesa.
Yeah.
Does.
Oh, yeah. So, we get tons of kids.
In our old neighborhood, because we were down on Louisiana by Morley Field, which is very more suburban than urban, I guess. There were a ton of kids over there.
Yeah, they're pockets.
And we'd be out in front of the house. We'd dress up. And it was so much fun.
Oh, yes.
The peak of which was when I was the Wicked Witch of the West. That was great.
That's
nice.
Funny.
I'll get you, my pretty little dog, too.
Oh, here we go.
Because I'd do the voice and everything, and like the ladies would send their they sent these kids up to the, and I did that, and I laughed.
That's wonderful.
As I handed out the, candy, and then I would say, "All right, bye. Have a nice Halloween."
Whoa.
And this woman in the street goes, "Oh, that's a man."
It's a man, baby.
That's a man, baby.
Nice.
It was so much fun. Ah, I miss that.
I love scaring the shit
out of
little kids.
I wanted to talk to, like, because now we live in an apartment complex that has, like, the through. Like, there's a gate on one end and a gate on the other end. It's like, oh, it'd be so cool if we all got together and did, like, a whole haunted house thing that people could walk through. But, like you said, I just don't think the traffic, like, the foot traffic is right up there in that area.
I know. So, I want to do a big, like, haunt. I want to do a haunt in my house.
Like Beth Accomando's?
Like, yes. I mean, hers is crazy.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But, like, I want to do, like, a
big haunt.
How hard
it would be to go to her house at some point during the night.
Not that hard.
I want Halloween to be, like, Christmas in, like, where neighborhoods go all out. There's a couple of places. But, like, during Christmas season, there's, like, neighborhoods where you're like, let's go to these four neighborhoods alone in San Diego County that I can think of.
And every town has those.
Where, and multiples of them. Like, there's four or five here in San Diego where it's like, oh, let's go look at Christmas lights tonight. And you just go and cruise a neighborhood, and you're like, this is dope. Yeah. And I'm sure maybe there's one or two, but, like...
Candy Cane Lane?
Well, right. But I'm just saying there's got to be, like...
Is that what they call it, like, a lot of places?
Oh, I know that it's called everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, it's here,
a couple, like one of them is called that, I think, in each place.
Yeah,
but
because there's
now, but where's the Halloween version of that?
They don't the same because those folks are clearly committed to the idea of decorating.
Right.
I've never noticed or gone down to Candy Cane Lane during Halloween. Do they follow the tradition?
Not for Halloween.
Not typically. No. At least not the ones like the ones I grew up near were not like that. Anyway.
There could be another lane that would dedicate itself to specifically Halloween.
There's always that one house that like doesn't decorate, and you're like, right, what's your problem?
Yeah. Turn their lights
I
off.
I can be that guy, right?
Turn all the lights off.
Bah, humbug.
Don't answer. Don't answer. We know you're in there. You're going to get tricks.
Well, it's funny because our neighbors last year, like our next direct next door neighbors, they have like security lights and stuff, and they left the country to go to like her home country to give birth to their kid. I don't know where that was, but I just know that that was their plan all along. So
well, that doesn't murder the Republican narrative. I don't know what it right? <does. laughs>
So they left, but it was like during Halloween, and so their lights would turn on every night.
Yeah.
And so like we were sitting out front, and every family would go to that house before ours, and like ding dong, and we they're not home.
Nope, they're
like
not
I know their lights are on. There's nobody there. Come over here. We have tons of candy. Please come take our candy.
Like leave a note. It's like, look, just skip it.
Yeah.
Go next door.
But it's also funny because like, we have the big cauldron to give out and everything. But we buy our bag and like or our candy in stages so we don't have to spend like $50 the day of or whatever.
Yeah.
And so we bought like our favorite bag of candy first so that way we could like nibble on it like while whatever. And then it gets piled on and piled on and piled on. So by the time that all the stuff that we bought afterward is gone, we're back down to the stuff we want.
Favorite candy is mini Snickers.
That's the other thing. Beth Armando gives out full size.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's
that.
The dream.
That
is the dream. You are a queen.
Yeah,
you are the queen of Halloween. You're giving out full size candy,
and
especially
and not just candy,
full size, or even
Snickers.
Like
full size Snickers.
No, are they full just size? Full size, or are they like king size?
No, no, they're
full
size.
Just regular full size.
Regular Snickers.
Let's not get crazy.
But still, when you lay out your candy booty for the night, and you have that one big full size,
boom,
yeah, it's pretty sweet.
That's what's up.
And it's the Snickers. It's like the best candy ever.
So is that what your go to ones are? I was guessing what Snickers mini.
No.
Is it chocolate?
No.
Not.
It's not.
Oh no.
It's not. I
say like circus peanuts or some shit.
No. I love
toothbrush.
I love right. No, I love the mini size things because I'm not a huge chocolate fan,
right.
But on candy bars, it's like a perfect addition to things.
Right.
So I like, you know, the mini Snickers, the mini Twix, all those things. But if I go straight candy, it's got to be like something fruity, like a Skittles or a Starburst or something. But my go-to that I just, if I look in the bowl and it's there, I will eat it every time is Nerds.
Nerds.
Yeah.
Nerds.
Yeah.
So we got candy, and I was
nerds.
Swear I wasn't. I swear I wasn't going to open it.
Mm-hmm. But then you did.
But I did. And there,
Is it box? Is it chocolate or?
It's not chocolate. Okay. It's like a sweet sour. Mm-hmm. Sweet sour. Mm-hmm. It's Jolly Ranchers.
Oh yeah.
Now, but these Jolly Ranchers, these new ones, are soft.
Newfangled Jolly Ranchers.
Soft?
Yeah.
Boo.
Now, I mean, not like soft, but you know, the regulars are just hard candy.
Oh yeah. Starburst.
Suck on them for like
15
forever.
Minutes. Yeah.
Forever. Yeah. And your teeth pull out because you try to chew it. But these, so apparently, I bet you it's because of that happened a bunch.
Boo.
But they're good. They give you all that flavor kind of, it's not super soft. It just has give to it.
Sure.
And so you can kind of bite and chew into it. It's like a Skittle. It's like a big Skittle, but with that Jolly Rancher
Skittles
flavor.
Skittles are so good. Can somebody put Trevor on the ground?
Oh, Trevor.
His arthritis is not allowing him to jump.
I feel you, Trevor. Oh.
And he tries to bite you. You're helping him, and he tried to bite you.
That was rude.
Can you help him, please? And then you're like, oh, I'll do this.
Come
chomp.
Here. Chomp.
What a dick.
What the fuck?
Oh, man.
Poor Trevor.
So is Jolly Rancher your go-to?
I don't know if I'd have a go-to. I mean, certainly, like, sours have been really big for me. Like, sour Skittles and sour... Patch.
Sour Patch Kids?
Yeah.
Sour Patch Kids on Halloween, though.
I don't, yeah. They're not really a Halloween candy.
Oh, we got them.
Oh.
They come in a pack with Swedish Fish and Starburst, maybe? I don't know. You know what they don't give out on Halloween anymore?
Candy corn.
Hot tamales. Samantha's favorite candy, and we cannot find the small pack that has hot tamales. It doesn't exist. We've looked for the last 2 years.
Trying to think of what those are. Those are like
the little red guys.
You know what a Mike and Ike is?
Yep.
It's like a weird cone-shaped thing. It's just that, but cinnamon flavored.
And they come individually wrapped in plastic things, or no?
Usually a little bag of like 7 pieces or so, but if we are going to buy them, they come in like a movie theater box, dollar box, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, this has been Candy Talk with Life's Binge.
Everybody loves candy, man.
What else have you guys been up to since it's been 2 weeks?
I've been absorbing neighbor drama.
Yeah, still.
Nice.
Yeah, you guys been watching? I do this. I update it every day on my Instagram. I do like a whole Instagram story about
what I overhear
from the neighbors. And,
yes.
Like we found out that, well, we know that she was cheating on him because he's in this. Because
they're
this
in the military.
Makes it terrible. He's in the military and he's gone. He'll be gone on duty for like days.
What?
And which is
did
terrible.
You know that already?
Yeah,
BJ, did you know that
he knew that
that they were cheating?
No,
cheating?
That he was in the military.
I knew he was in the military.
Okay,
yeah, he knew that.
Yeah,
because you're like, we found out she's been cheating because, and then you took a pause, and BJ filled in with because he's military.
I mean, the whole story is like really typical. They're very young.
Yeah,
clearly they're very young. They're definitely married. He was gone for like 2 weeks, and her friend like basically lived there. And they're like calling each other girlfriend and all stuff. I'm like, that's messed up. And so they got into a fight on, I want to say it was on Monday, maybe Sunday or Monday. And I heard her say to him, she's just a friend. And I'm like, liar! Lies, lies.
You
sit upon a throne of lies.
You say she's just
lie
a friend.
Lie to his face.
You say she's just a friend.
And we overhear like all these little things, and now they're at the point where they can't even talk about anything without like snipping at each other. Mm-hmm. Like yesterday, I wasn't there, but Lindsay's like, "Yeah, they're talking about where to go for dinner," and he goes, "Well, I guess I can have a taco or something." Like, just, don't bring tacos into this.
Hey, tacos
into your marriage
tacos
drama.
Didn't.
Yeah, I've been like working in like all this other shit too, but that's so I get more messages about that on any given day.
What happened today?
Talking about anything? No, for real. I got because I didn't update it today, so I got like 4 messages.
What
from people
happened?
Like, what happened today with your neighbors? And I'm like, nothing. I'm sorry, I wasn't there. I don't know. it's unreal.
Tacos didn't ruin your relationship. Oh, maybe they did.
Why
maybe they
did. Stay together.
They're young and not bright.
Yeah, I guess.
That's my only guess.
Who knows?
I don't know.
Crazy.
BJ,
what's up with you?
I went back to work today for the first time.
Hey.
Yeah, in 2 months. In 2 months.
Nice.
How was it?
It was great. It was great. Like, it was cool.
Get your groove back?
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't been going into the office side of the park for the last 6 months or so,
right.
Pretty much. They've been getting,
shortest distance traveled.
Yeah,
right.
Coming straight to the east side, go to the... Yep, walking as little as possible.
Uh-huh.
So I walked across the park for the first time in ages today.
And you're like, this is over here?
Walked up the stairs. Yeah. Yeah. I saw the Twister for the
Where
first
am
time.
I?
Yeah.
And yeah, I was like, oh, this is the Twister. And it was working.
Nice.
Which is a rarity, apparently.
Yep.
So,
wow.
Yeah. But anyway, it was cool. It was fun. And we're going to put in this dolphin show, and then we're going to put in Christmas Santa. And so nothing is very stressful. It's going to be great. And
is it Dolphin Island Christmas?
Dolphin
again?
Island Christmas. Yeah. Yep. So we're working on the ukulele songs.
Easy peasy.
It's super. Yep. Piece of cake. It's going to be great.
Nice.
So I'm back. I'm back, baby.
Nice.
Word.
Aww. That's what's up. What's up?
This just in. With Richard Blake.
This just in. I beat Jared this week in fantasy football.
Whatever.
Nice.
Everyone beats me a lot.
Makes
you
feel better.
This year's bonkers.
I'm 500, yeah, first of all.
This year's bonkers.
And I'm losing.
We're in the playoffs right now if the season ends.
Losing like crazy in another league, but I'm dominating in the third one.
Yeah.
Because like, there's no even, like, you know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm sucking in my other league, but I'm in a division that's super weak. So I'm only like a game out of first.
Now, so do they do a bye week in yours? Like first round bye?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
So I don't have that.
Me neither.
So.
I tried to do that and people lost their shit because they liked the 2 week.
Yeah.
But then again, sometimes it doesn't always even work for your – you get the bye week and then you go the next week and then sometimes you're
– I would rather have that than play 2 week games. Like honestly, it's just – I don't know.
Yeah, I just – yeah, we just do two final games. Better the playoffs.
Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah. We don't need a bye week and we don't need a 2 week long game.
That's fine. Yeah. The 2 week game is ridiculous.
2 week game? I don't think I know about that.
It's like
the last 2 weeks?
Yes.
Yes.
The first round of playoffs is a 2 week long game.
Boom.
Yes. Yeah.
This also just in, go Nationals. They just won the World
Series.
The Nationals won
the World Series.
Now that's a trip.
I wanted them to win badly.
And badly, I wasn't as, but I just thought it'd be fun because they'd never won before.
Right.
And, Montreal Expos,
yep.
You know, they get theirs finally.
Yep.
I have no dog in the baseball race.
Right.
Unless, like, and really it is, that is. If the Padres are in the playoffs, like, all right, I'll pay attention. Yep. But if not, I'm like, all right, bye.
The A's, you're meh.
Yeah, I'll pay attention if the A's are there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not, but I don't have the same affinity for them.
Right.
Because I fell out of love with baseball while I was still in Oakland.
Okay.
And I got back into baseball when I moved down here. Because that was when the strike happened when I was a kid, and I was all disillusioned. Like, why are they striking? Like, just go play your game.
Yeah, just go
get
play
paid.
A game.
That'll really lose your taste for a sport.
Yeah. Like, especially when you're young. And you don't, like, now that I'm older, like, I get it. Like, all right, like, you want it to be fair and blah, blah, blah. But it still leaves, like, kind of a bad taste in my mouth a little bit. But not the same as it did when I was that age.
I'm happy they won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, like, the only feeling I had about this series is like, well, there's a team there that's never ever won, so yeah, I want them to win.
Yep.
Yeah, and they were the underdogs.
No feelings about it otherwise.
And every away team won.
Yes.
Which has never ever happened in any sport ever.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Which is always fun to see.
Yep. That's so weird. That's the weirdest freaking thing ever.
Yeah.
Like they won
home
four
team
games
advantage.
On the road.
Yeah.
It's a good stat.
Oh, it's bizarro.
Good stat to be alone in.
But yeah, it was cool. Strasburg, San Diego guy, got the MVP.
Strasburg.
He did. I didn't see that. Yeah. I left, so.
Yep, and they gave him a brand new Corvette Stingray, giving a multi-million-dollar paycheck guy.
And he's a free agent.
Getting a brand new.
It'd be funny if he was like, "How do we drive electric
car?" Right.
Dedicate this to the Boys and Girls Club.
Right. I'm sure they all do donate the car or whatever.
Probably.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, why? I don't know. I think it's
you keep that Stingray.
Keep
the fucking Stingray.
Yeah.
If it's a car you really like specifically,
and it's sentimental, like you won the World Series.
Exactly. Yeah.
Car, like, it's my MVP car.
Yeah.
Probably put it in your trophy room.
Hell of a fucking trophy.
in your mansion. Expand your trophy room.
I just always thought it was weird that they started giving out cars to MVPs.
It is a little weird, but it's like, you know, it's an advertising.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. A little sponsorship.
Brought to you by
Chevrolet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How about the Bud Light guy who got an instant...
the double fister?
Yes, he got an instant, like, a deal, like an ad deal.
Yeah.
The guy...
He's like double fisting Bud Light at the game.
He had two
Then he had a home run,
nice.
And he didn't drop the beer.
He took the home run off the chest.
And then he got the ball. And so they flew him out to the next game in Houston with the shirt on, saying...
I'm the Bud Light guy.
Like, yeah.
That is... See, I love that.
And then they ran a commercial during the thing for, like, be like John Smith.
Right.
You know, it was pretty
I
funny.
I kind of love that.
It was kind of cool.
I'm sure there are people out there like, I hate that.
Nah, I thought I was
consumerist
cool.
culture.
Somebody posted a tweet that was like, this one's for you. double fisting at the World Series guy. Remember those old like
real
but, like,
man
yes,
of genius.
Exactly. It was somebody tweeted one of those.
I loved those.
Dude, those were the best things ever.
Oh my god!
One time we went camping. We always go out to like Borrego or somewhere like out towards the desert or whatever. And one time we basically listened to every one of those back to back to back the whole drive out there.
Man.
It was like 4.5 hours of Real Men of Genius commercials.
We used to make them up in college. We'd make up Real Men of Genius commercials.
For your friends and stuff?
Yeah.
Real Men. This one's for you. God, it's so funny.
This one's for you, beer pong champion.
Well, everyone
he's
else.
Got a hell of a throw.
While everyone else is hitting the books, studying for their future, you dedicated your life to throwing a ping pong ball into
throwing
a bag.
Throwing the ping pong ball.
God, those are so funny. But yeah, somebody tweeted out about that guy. One of those.
Wonderful.
It was a perfect tweet. Yeah. I was like, this is magical.
That's great.
Yeah, he was holding two tall cans and just literally took the homer off the chest. Whammo! And then caught the ball.
Yep.
So great.
Dope.
Yeah.
I do have actual TV movies.
Yes, what else is in the actual news other than sports? Yes.
The live action Cowboy Bebop series. Have you heard? You guys know about this?
I've heard. Nope. I've heard about Cowboy Bebop as
you know of Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah,
it's one of like the most lauded, applauded anime of all time.
Space Western galore.
It's really cool.
Yeah,
like one of those stereotypical, prototypical, like Han Solo type lead dudes who's like very suave and cool and awesome and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Starring John Cho on Netflix, has to halt production for the next 7 to 9 months.
Why?
Because he hurt himself on set.
Boo.
Now, I wonder if it's going to be along the lines of Bleach. Did it, either you see Bleach?
I did not.
No.
I'd imagine no.
I would imagine it's going to be more straight up live action.
Cowboy Bebop's a little more realistic.
Oh, okay.
Than Bleach is.
I thought maybe it required.
As far as like a space sci-fi Western.
That type
goes.
Of. Bleach was really well done.
Yeah.
Like for live action, it's fun. It feels like you're in an anime kind of.
Huh.
Do you have any other Netflix in the news?
Because
I saw one headline that I want to bring up.
I don't. So go
speaking
ahead.
Of Netflix, they on their mobile version of their app, they added a feature that has gotten Hollywood all up in a tizzy.
And it's only in the mobile?
So far, yes. And it's just a test.
It's a test.
But you know how on podcasts or audiobooks you can hit the times
play
button to move it at 1.25 speed or 1.5 speed or double speed? They added that so people could watch stuff faster, and people in Hollywood were pissed.
Yeah.
Like, how dare you?
Directors. And
like,
art,
why are you ruining our comedic timing and this and that? Like, people should watch it as we intended, blah, 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 blah. And, like, I kind of get that argument, but at the same time, at least people are watching your shit. Like,
hey, Ken Burns, you're not going to lose anything. You know, you spend it. Not really. I mean.
Like, I understand if you're watching a show that's, like, very comedic timing. And like, say you haven't watched 30 Rock ever, and you're like, I just really want to binge through this while I'm on my lunch break. I want to hit 2 episodes, so I'm going to watch it at 1.5 speed. And, like, granted, the timing is going to be off because you're watching it at 1.5 speed, and comedy timing.
And they say that, because I saw this, too. I just forgot about it.
Yeah.
They say that people have been requesting it. And I'm like, well, how are you? Like, you just want to, like, I don't understand how you could watch it like that.
I don't know why you'd want to.
Why would somebody want to do that?
Only if you've already seen it, maybe.
But even still, I wouldn't want to watch The Office with, like everyone talking like chipmunks.
Like, doesn't that defeat the
it's just faster. I'm sure, like, they.
No.
Like,
pitch speeds everything up.
I thought
if you
they
speed
have the technology.
Up the audio, it would have to.
I don't
change
think
the
so.
Pitch.
Yeah, I think the technology they don't it doesn't raise the pitch with
it does on the audiobooks and on the. I mean,
oh,
it,
really?
It doesn't necessarily like
because that
really you sound like a chipmunk, but like
it's faster.
It's definitely faster, and
it's
it definitely
like
does have a little bit higher of a pitch, just because it's going.
Yeah,
faster.
That would annoy me.
I thought digitally they don't
too
have
much.
To, don't have to do that. But.
I don't know how.
But like on a documentary or something, I could just see getting that info a little faster.
I'm gonna open my Netflix on my app real quick to see if I even have because it's just in a test.
Yeah. Like anyway, I don't, you know,
what
watch the, whatever the fuck you want to watch. I don't care however you want to watch it, whatever. But I just would never do that.
Me neither.
I could never see any situation where I would want to do that.
Really?
So, what other news you got?
Yeah.
Oh, lots. I thought we were gonna. Listen
oh,
to
I just want to see if it's
lots
here.
And lots and lots. Boop, boop, boop. This is fun. Monica Lewinsky is going to produce a documentary on HBO Max. So she has been more in the news.
I want to see her TED Talk. I heard it was very good.
I follow her on Twitter, and she's hilarious.
Right on.
She's really – she was just on Dax Shepard's podcast, too. She's really
I heard about that,
awesome.
And I wanted to listen to it.
She's yeah. really awesome.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. It's crazy. I can't imagine being her.
Well, like, and so,
especially portrayed in the media in the 90s at the time of what they were trying to do.
Right. And there's this whole – like if you're a person on the internet nowadays, there are people who are like, you know, good for her that she can like exist
yes.
after all of that. Like to come back from that and be able to like go out into society and just be a part of it. Like
yep.
and still be yourself. Like she contemplated changing her name at one point
yeah.
and like all this stuff. To go out there and be like, and not just that, but to do what she does. She's an anti-bullying advocate mm-hmm. as well. Like, there's, I don't think there's a single better way to come out of that situation than what she's done now.
That's cool.
And then there are the other people who are like, well, she shouldn't have had relations with a married man, blah, blah, blah. What was that? She was an adult. And I'm like, back up the truck. She was 21. He was the most powerful man in the world.
Okay,
like,
I had a suck of dick.
Okay. Right. It's like Chris Rock. It's like, that's the president's dick. I would have sucked his dick. Like,
but it wasn't even just an affair. They were like, I mean, it was an affair, but it wasn't a single act.
From her point of view, like as far as I'm to understand it, she was in love with him.
Yeah, they had a thing.
It was a real thing.
It was a real multiple occasions.
And maybe it wasn't for him, which, you know, is more than likely because, again, the most powerful man in the world.
Right.
Like, you know, like this guy comes on to you. You're 21 years old. You're like, don't want the president to hit on me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
And that power's an aphrodisiac. There's that whole,
absolutely.
There's
like,
that whole boss, you know, subordinate sort of
so people
want to,
like, disparage her for breaking up a marriage. And he's like, come on. Like, and you know what? I agree with that. Like, I would never do that to somebody who I knew was married. Like, I would never do that. But
right.
I'm not gonna shit on this person who was a 21-year-old girl. Like, that. Come on. That's fucked up.
Now, first of all, could you imagine her life? Because she's a young girl. Getting the opportunity to get into the
be
White
an intern
House.
Intern in the White House.
You're like, oh
right?
my God, I'm
you
an intern in the White House. You get to be this close to the president.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And then you fall for him
yeah.
and get to be with him
yeah.
you know, in the White House while he's president.
You're a Disney fucking princess.
Yeah.
Basically.
And then, oh my God. And then the whole thing comes out and you're the biggest
shit, it's,
yeah, whore.
You're a joke for a decade.
Yeah. You're slut shamed forever.
Yeah. yeah. And so for her to come back from that. Is dope.
Impressive.
Yeah, it's dope. I love it. I love it.
In the podcast, they talked about the changing the name thing.
Yeah.
And she's like, at one time, somebody asked, like, wouldn't it be easier if you just change your name? And she's like, yeah, but I thought about that. But, you know, how come they're not asking, did Clinton change his name? And I was like, burn. That's such a good question. Like, it's such a good counter because, like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, he did the same thing. He cheated and he lied and he did the same thing she did.
Yep.
But he's a man and the president, so he doesn't have to do shit. Why does she need to come out and apologize and he didn't have to do shit?
Exactly.
Because he's a white man in charge of the world.
So on Twitter, the Washington Times quoted Mike Pence. This is and just following her on Twitter is just a gold mine. But Mike Pence says, spend more time on your knees than on the internet. And somebody posted, okay, who's going to tell him? And she replied, definitely not me. Like that's like the tweet of the year.
That's great.
That is all time.
That's great. Now you wonder, is that her monitoring her thing, or does she have a publicist?
I've read
publicist.
It. Yeah. I've read a lot of them. It's got to be her.
Dude, Ben Midler was spitting fire on Twitter not that long ago either. When the women did the first all women like spacewalk.
Right.
Did you hear about that? Like, Bette Midler tweeted, like, Trump just got off the phone with the women doing the all-women spacewalk, so it's history on two fronts. First of all, women walking in space for the first time, and women being potentially safe from Trump. Like, so, I forget how she said it, but, like, the distance was, like, a safe distance for
in
women
no way
to talk
to be harassed
God,
by
it
him,
was
yeah.
so funny. That's like, I butchered great. It entirely, but Bette Midler was spitting some shit on Twitter. It was
That's
hilarious.
Cool.
It was just a really solid tweet. Like, I love a good burn.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm here for that.
Ooh,
I have more.
Yes.
David Bernroff and D.B. Weiss.
Yeah.
How do you say their names?
Right.
Have
Thrones fame.
D&D.
Unceremoniously exited their potential Star Wars trilogy.
They left? I thought Disney booted them.
That is what it sounds like from Disney, from a certain point of view. From my point of view, they're evil.
Right.
But they released a statement saying that they wanted to focus on one thing or the other, not to water both projects down, because they have a $200 million deal with Netflix,
right,
too. So we're going to focus on this and not do that, blah, blah, blah. But it seems now more like Disney says, no, you're done.
Yeah.
Have we heard or do we know why? Have you heard any of this?
Uh-uh. No.
This is fucking great. I love this shit. The past weekend, they were on a film panel. I think it was in San Antonio. Some comic con, some small writers panel, uh-huh, some small like film panel. And they're giving interviews about the show. People are asking the questions. And like they're just basically
about Game of Thrones or
about Game of Thrones, okay, yeah. And they basically admitted that most of the time they did not know what they were doing. That they like that they failed upwards and got lucky. And an actual quote from them is, "We don't know why he trusted us with his life's work."
Wow.
That they learned about the characters from the actors.
Wait, what?
Now, did they come in season one?
Yeah.
Yeah. They
were. So it's been them the whole time. Yeah. Okay.
That's insanity.
Yeah.
Of course, they were following source material the whole time until.
Do you think? But apparently
they
weren't.
They brought up a point saying that they wanted to remove as much fantasy stuff as possible because they wanted to show appeal to quote unquote mothers and quote unquote NFL players as much as that type of fan. Air quotes.
Nerd?
I just did.
Yeah, the
nerds.
NFL
Jared
player.
Looks
NFL players.
Jared looks dejected
how?
Right now.
All 1,400 NFL players.
Right, yeah,
like,
just them though.
Hearing for them.
The moderator asked why they chose to write all the episodes by themselves, and their actual answer was because we didn't know better. That's appropriate.
I just...
We don't want you on our product.
I just
you
don't...
You guys are going to have to hit the road. Yeah. That shit doesn't fly here.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And all the rest of it is just more stuff like that.
And
like, we knew what we were doing. We just kind of got lucky that it turned into a smash hit.
And if that is the case, why do you come out and say that stuff?
I don't know.
We didn't want to, you know, only make a show for that type of person. You mean the people that run the fucking industry?
Right.
You dickwad. Do you think it's fucking football players that go to see the Marvel movies? No, it's the fucking Rise of the Geek, you dumb idiots.
Yeah.
God, what morons. Why do you fucking say that?
I don't know. What would possess someone
no,
to
we didn't
say
know what we were doing.
Like
we stand behind the end of the monster.
Oh, we wanted to make a show for mothers. About rape.
Yeah, I have the whole...
What the fuck,
I have
dude?
The whole Twitter thread, and I'll send you the link so you can post it on the page, because it's insane.
That's bonkers, dude.
Insane. It's insane. Wow. They found Jason Momoa on a fan dream casting site. Like, fans writing, like, who would you cast as, you know,
right.
Khal Drogo? And like, oh, this
guy.
And they're like, ooh, yeah, that's
yeah,
a good
that
idea.
That works.
I wonder how many cues they took from fan sites.
Apparently, after that, none. They said they didn't. They didn't go on the internet. They didn't read about it. And that when they did, they were upset.
I want to know what.
Of course,
George R.R. thinks.
I would,
because he was like the whole time. Like I'm behind him. I'm behind the show.
Yeah.
He would write episodes. He would write. He was involved the whole time.
Yeah.
And then just. They're like, yeah, we didn't know what we were doing. We just fucking made it up and went. We never want to work in this town again.
Yeah.
What?
And the actors were pretty, like, clear, like, with their being upset they were. With
how yeah.
Like, almost
best
to,
season
to
ever.
A person.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
Interesting.
That's crazy.
All right, what else you got?
I got more. Let me bring it up. Oh, Dave Chappelle was awarded the Mark Twain Prize. For comedy.
Find Ja Rule, get hold of this motherfucker so I can make sense of all this.
Thank you.
When in Rome.
Much to, I'm sure, the chagrin of many people on the internet right now because he's still taking heat for his most recent special. Did you guys watch that?
For saying what now? For what was it again that got...
They didn't like the trans jokes.
Yeah.
Which really...
I'll have to listen to him again.
As far as I don't remember it exactly off the top of my head, and I don't want to do it a disservice or not justice. But
right.
It wasn't like aggressively anti-trans.
That's
I don't
what
think.
I see, because I don't remember anything that made me think that's really insensitive or. Or
it did make me think someone's going to be upset by that. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I think like I all his humor.
I didn't feel that gut reaction to it.
Right.
I normally would.
I think that all of his humor has like that edge to it that like, oh, now that's an angle that everyone isn't going to
right.
love. But it's never for that. Like that's I never get it's for it's the sake of shock value.
Right.
It's just like this is the an angle that you should think about that's really going to make you like
no,
uncomfortable.
Make you
yeah.
yeah
make you a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And that's what he's always done.
That's what comedy's supposed to do.
That yeah. is correct, but not in cancel culture 2019.
Yeah.
But you see Barack Obama coming out.
Everything's going to get canceled.
I did
cancel
see that.
Everybody uh-huh. on
That's
Earth.
A good message. It's one we need to kind of carry forward.
I didn't see what it was.
Just essentially like everyone becoming more woke than everyone else and kind of like pointing at everything else. And then eventually you're kind of in a circle, in a circular firing squad that you can't let your extreme wokeness be something that – is adds to the division as opposed to erases the division. So.
The instantaneous canceling of like Dave Chappelle, one of the most successful comedians of all time.
Yeah.
Like
Mark Twain winner.
Right. And they're like, boo, cancel this man because he made a trans joke. Like, no, that's not how this works.
Yeah.
And you know, I can't speak for the entire community or whatever, but it's like, no, you yeah. just, he's a fucking professional comedian.
Yeah.
Like, they toe the line, they say edgy things to get that attention on those things.
And I, I heard the Barack Obama thing too. And I remember reading it and thinking, I wasn't 100% on board with the way he delivered it.
Uh huh.
Because, you know, I'm gonna check my bias too, make sure I'm not just agreeing with Obama just because Obama's Obama.
Right.
Because I think if something upsets you and you don't want to hear it, don't.
Exactly.
I think that's fine.
Don't.
I think that's fine. I don't think the onus is on the person who is offended to not be offended. You know? Like if something offends you, be offended. That's fine. But to go out and say, no one else give this attention, no one else do this, no one else do that, that's where we need to take a step back and maybe think for a second. Like yeah. I'm not gonna go out and tell anybody else how they should feel about something. And because here's the thing. If something's bad enough, you know, if you really do believe in capitalism, if you believe that the system can work, then the invisible hand of the market will do its job. Where's Kramer these days? Gone. He canceled himself.
Maybe.
Nobody had to advocate for, you know, not going to see his shows or not going this or not doing that. Like he called people in the audience the N-word and people stopped paying money to see him. And that's honestly the way it should work. It doesn't have to be a whole, hey, everybody, let's go burn down this business.
Yeah.
Like just.
Well, I mean, that did happen to him.
Just on your, but it wasn't to the scale of what's been happening to people lately.
It was probably, I mean, at the very beginning, it was like, he said this is what happened. It got blown up on every media outlet imaginable.
Yeah.
It was said in a private club, which shouldn't have been said in the first place. Don't get me wrong. But like, yeah, he said it in a private club one time.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, well, that's the end of that guy. Which is like the first like canceling that happened.
I don't think anybody, or at least maybe I didn't see it, but nobody went out of their way to say, hey, don't support this man anymore. Don't do this. They said, hey, here's what happened. Here's what he said.
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Because that was before, you know, Chris Brown beat the shit out of Rihanna.
Right.
And nobody advocated for the canceling. I mean, people did, but people were like, no, we love Chris Brown. And people were like, what? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
So.
My niece struggled with that. She loved /
I was indifferent before, and then I was vehemently for him getting hit by a car afterwards because that's fucked up shit.
No, for sure.
That's just
yes.
Nope. And he's playing at San Diego State like last week or this week.
Oh, really?
Probably yeah. Sold out.
Probably.
Yeah.
Like, boo.
Crazy.
But anything you know, else? I'm not gonna go stand outside the concert and tell people don't go in there. You know?
Yeah,
do what you gotta do.
I'm not with Kamala Harris's call for Trump to get banned from Twitter. Like, she thinks that he should have his Twitter rights revoked.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well,
because he lies on Twitter. And lies.
Oh, did you see that thing?
There's a better argument for that. He's repeatedly violated the actual terms of service of Twitter by advocating violence against private citizens. Like, if you want to ban him for that.
Did you see the thing where
not for lying?
Like,
people do that all the time.
Called Zuckerberg in to like ask him about like allowing lies in political ads or whatever.
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
I thought it was weak on Facebook's part for sure.
I thought it was completely unfair against Facebook.
I thought it was weak because. There, his thing, it was funny, and I enjoyed seeing Ocasio-Cortez grilling him about their standards, and because he was so clearly put off by her, and the way he was like, Congresswoman, we don't, you know, none of his answers were for shit. Like,
They're like, are you – so you're – yes, you're accepting money for blatant lies? And he's like, well, we're accepting money for advertising just like everyone else. And, but they're like, but no, but you're allowing lies. Like, you won't take down a lie. And, like, I get where they're coming from, but at the same time, it's like they print magazines. They send mail. They do TV commercials. They do this. They do that. They do this. They do that all over the place. They put it on Twitter. They put it on Instagram. They put it everywhere possible to spread their message. Like, why are they hammering Zuckerberg so bad? Well, I thought it was unfair towards Facebook.
Not on Twitter anymore.
Yeah, yep.
As of today, Twitter has banned those ads.
But also, I think that, like, if you put it on the air...
Probably over, because of what happened to Facebook.
Over the video stream on ABC, ABC can monitor that and say, this is outside of our standards. This is untrue, and because of that, we're not going to air this ad, which they've done... countless of times over the years.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. Yeah.
And Facebook is perfectly in the almost the exact same position to do the same thing. And I think that they should, especially for political ads in today's age when clearly abuse of social media has become a giant player in our electoral outcomes. So they have a lot of responsibility, and I don't think they're living up to it.
Sure.
Yes, I agree with both of you.
Yeah.
Because it's not necessarily up to them to take like a moral stance one way or the other, but it is up to them to be true to the identity of what they claim their business is.
Well,
right.
And
if they're saying that, well, you know, we're not a news company. We don't do this. We do that. And I was like, but you're doing all the things that those companies do.
Right.
So,
yeah, you're running ads. You're
showing television.
So
you're a broadcaster.
Right.
And you're showing.
Right.
You know. You're. Yeah. And in the same sense, those airwaves were always supposed to be free to the American public.
Right.
So in the same sense, and under some kind of control of the American public.
Right.
And in the same way, the internet, it's still like the Wild West, but it's the same thing, tenfold, like 10 times as concentrated. So I think it needs to be at least as regulated.
So you think there needs
at least
to be
as regulated.
An S&P for Facebook or for the internet? Like,
yes.
Do you think there needs to be standards and practices for the internet?
Yes.
Because then you get into that whole like
you do
thing of like taking away the internet and having it be as magical as it is, where anybody can do anything, and net neutrality and all that conversation comes into play, where it's like as soon as you start putting limitations on this stuff, like it goes away. And does it need to go away? Does it need to be controlled by like 5 different companies? You know, like when does the internet turn not into the internet anymore?
When Disney buys it.
Well, that's the well, yes, but like other, you know, and that's what happens when you start putting the limitations on. And I understand specific sites and the Facebook thing does make a little bit of sense. Something I just felt like that was off-putting to me because they were just hammering Zuckerberg so hard for it. And it's like, sure, he's the face and the company and the president. I get it.
The face of the book.
But it's just like, I just don't know why they're the fall guy. Because I guess they're the biggest in the big.
They
Because they can, they can reach everyone.
Yeah.
Did you watch the first episode
accounts.
Of Silicon Valley?
No. I haven't watched.
You gotta be
I haven't watched Watchmen. And
Watchmen.
I know. I haven't watched any of it.
I haven't watched that yet, but I want to.
Oh, dude!
I think I'm gonna wait. Like I've done most of the other.
My
seasons
next piece
of
news
Valley
is actually about that.
And
oh,
watch.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna watch most of it, like at once. Yeah.
Well, anyway, as far as Silicon Valley,
yeah.
The first episode this year, you are watching.
Love
so far.
That show.
So, they just got their brand big brand new company. And so the first episode is him speaking at Congress. But he's talking. He's talking about his new decentralized internet.
Right.
Of the people, for the people, and by the people.
Right.
And he speaks to the whole current internet in the way that, like, there's only a handful of people who control, like, 90% of every bit of action on the internet. And that's not what America's about. And he gives it's a really well-done, like, speech, kind of comparing America and the internet to the ideals of America and why we came here and applying those exact same things to the internet. And that if internet is going to be Facebook and Google and I want to say Apple. I know they're not really the internet, but controlling everything, then, you know, where are we? You know, we're in a fascist internet where few people control everything.
Dude, it's one of the best gifts. It was like popular websites from 1990 whatever to 2019, and it was a bar graph, and then at the top with like millions was AOL, and then Yahoo was right below it. And like all the way down to the bottom was like CompuServe and Netscape.
Oh, and I love Netscape. Yeah.
And they were just like these, and then like Google showed up, and then Google just went doot 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 doot, and just like climbed the mountain. And I was like, this is insanity. Yeah. Like it wasn't a GIF; it was like a 3-minute long like video, like a time lapse video. Right. Like going, it was crazy.
And Facebook and Google, like who do they have as more?
I didn't pay attention that long, but it was good.
I bet
it was fun to see. Because I was like, AOL, I remember that.
Yeah.
When they ruled the internet.
When they bought Time Warner.
When America Online was the winner of the world for a short amount of time.
They won.
Got mail.
They merged with one of the biggest media companies and got their name first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
AOL
Time Warner.
Yes. The future is us.
I mean, it was at the time.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. And then they gave everyone free internet with those damn discs, man. No, I'm just kidding.
There's a landfill somewhere.
Anyway, we've ranted about not entertainment news for long enough. What else is in the entertainment news?
This is probably going to do the same thing again.
That's okay.
This will spoil the first few minutes of Watchmen for you. The first episode of Watchmen opens with the 1921 Tulsa race massacre.
It does indeed.
And as Watchmen, as you know, exists in an alternate, quote-unquote, United States of American history, many people who watch the show found themselves Googling this to find out if it really happened or not, because they didn't already know that.
Most people did not. Yep.
That reminds me of, I forget what it was. Never mind. I just saw a trailer during the World Series about the new Clint Eastwood movie about
Richard Jewell.
Yeah, and I was like, I have no idea what this is, but it looks very intriguing and impressive.
You remember 96?
No clue what
Atlanta
it was.
Atlanta bombing?
Nope. Mm-hmm.
And there was a bomb went off during the Olympics in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And they had
this
guy.
I have a very, very, very tiny recollection of that happening.
And he was the suspect.
I
want to
see that.
He called it in.
Yeah.
And then they said that it was
that he planned it.
He was the suspect. And it turned out he wasn't.
So he's innocent then. Or do they not know?
Spoiler. I'm pretty sure.
You know, I bet you the movie's probably worth seeing, but he was not found guilty, as far as I know. Like,
gotcha.
There was more of those things. They were focused on him hard, and it turned out, like, as much as we've been trying to, like, tie it to him, it's not him.
And I was like, who is that guy that's playing him? And
it's
the guy from I, Tonya.
Yeah, who's been in a few things.
I was like, yeah, it's good times.
He's good. I want
to
see that.
It's fun to see these actors get their turn, you know, and kind of come up and show up.
New faces.
And, whether you like Clint Eastwood or not, like, the guy makes good movies. And this one looks like it's going to be good, too. And, back to the Watchmen, where it's like people looking up stuff. It just literally happened to me today, where I was like, wait, what? Yeah. What's this about? Based on a true story. Yeah, no idea.
Yeah, I watched all these messages and, like, on Reddit and tweets and stuff like, wait, that was real? Because there's people watching it because there's the part where, like, the plane flies overhead and, like,
drops
fire bombs. And like, ah, that didn't really happen. That's part of, like, Watchmen's, oh, no, that really happened, and they had more than one plane. Like, they actually bombed Americans. Wow, 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 wow.
It's crazy. Wow. Well, I mean, it's – history is weird. Like, it's
– well. It's
weird.
It makes you think. It's very
weird. I wonder if people remember, like, Oklahoma City bombings and things, because, like, these are big, crazy events. And, like,
the first time the World Trade Center was bombed.
And, like, unless you lived it, it's, you maybe learn about it once in elementary school, yeah. like maybe in high school American history, like
tertiary
maybe
conversation.
But like you're not in it, you're not living it, and you're not like, oh God, like I.
It really depends on like a lot of it is like what do you want people to know, and like and so it makes me think about that, like our whole teaching of American history for the last 150 years, you know, yep. like the things that we learn that we're supposed to learn, you know, you're like, well, how much of this is a ruse and how much of it is like actual, and the winners get to tell the story.
Yeah.
The losers don't get to tell the history. Nope. History only comes from the side of the winners. So
well, that's why I'm like
the House voting to recognize the Armenian genocide. They're like, yeah, we've been recognizing it for 100 years, guys.
Like, I'm really curious.
Way to
like,
catch up.
And on the
what
same,
a history class in Japan about World War II is like.
My nephew's there now, and I asked him. I was like, so you're forgetting he's got lots of Japanese friends.
Yeah.
Over there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how prevalent? First of all, like, this is the only country that's ever had a nuclear bomb dropped on them. Two of them.
Yes. Twice.
Do they ever, I mean, is that acknowledged anywhere? Or is it ever spoken about? And like people his age, he's 22, so, you know, so in their early 20s, kids there, they apparently don't talk about it very like much at all. Like I think they learn about it in school, but it's not like a binding part of their culture there.
But like learning, like, you know, why did America finally get involved in World War II? Like, what's your answer to that? Why?
The official thing was because of Pearl Harbor.
Right. We got bombed. We're like, fine, well, let's go in there and kick some ass.
Right. We've been provoked.
Right. Right. And so I'm just curious, like,
giant.
Like when you're taking a history class in Germany or you're taking a history class in Japan, when you guys are like the instigators of the biggest war in the world, like, what do you learn about? Like,
that's
we fucked up.
I don't know
like,
this firsthand.
Do you get the we fucked up story, or do you get the like?
That's,
well, we sided with this for this reason, and it made sense.
That's what I've heard about Germany.
Like,
is that they're very forthcoming
culpa,
about
culpa,
we did the wrong thing. We were bad. This was bad. Everything was bad.
I don't know. Germany
and there's no sugarcoating it, so they make sure their citizens know, like, so it never happens again. Like,
it does seem like
happened.
They've kind of dealt with their stuff fairly
and
well.
It's not good.
And Japan certainly. They got rid of their military. Like, I don't think they have any military now, right? Like,
I'm sure they do.
I'm not 100% sure. Like,
I don't believe that they do.
Yeah, I think that, like, after the... Actually, I don't know if it was right after World War II or not, but...
Like, we can't be trusted with this power?
Well,
what,
as a result of this horror that they exhibit, that was exhibited on their
on
land.
On their neighbors.
Yeah, right. on them.
Yeah.
That they said, you know, this is not something we want to pursue anymore. You know, which is... I hate the idea that, like, see, that worked. You know, that, like...
Right.
But...
Right.
But their response to that is the answer. Like, that's the answer
they
to...
They have a self-defense force.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's, like... But not a defense. Not like a... Invade... They couldn't go someplace.
Right. Nobody has a military like we do.
They couldn't go... They couldn't
really?
Go at... No. Well, I mean, but there's lots of countries that have militaries that can travel and be parts of
sure.
different things. But I don't think Japan.
But ain't one of them have a base on our land.
Yeah, true that.
Not one.
Might makes right.
Not even an ally.
Dude, I know. Dude, believe me, man. I for years and years and years. And
I remember when I first realized that, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I still like wonder and worry about
that's
that.
That's interesting.
We've got...
Yeah.
A bigger military than the next five countries combined, you know,
and more every day.
And so we're the good guys. Like,
yeah,
are we the baddies? Are we? Like, it's just,
we got skulls on our caps.
It's a trip.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, got derailed there.
That's well, you were right, Rich.
I told you.
Another thing to talk about forever. You get us three in a room, and then we just tangent away.
That's all I got, though.
Okay. News. Sweet.
Happy birthday, Mikey P.
And that's the way it was.
Happy birthday.
Ah, happy birthday. We do have a movie review.
What?
But
let's hear
I
it.
Don't have it downloaded yet, but I will in about 2 seconds. But let's get into the intro for it. I haven't hit this button in a while.
And now, another installment of What Do I Know with Matt Warburton. Well, hello, everybody. My name is Matt, and this is What Do I Know? It's been a little bit since I've done one of these, but in honor of Mikey P's birthday and in honor of one of his best Halloween costumes that I've ever seen him in, which was the mayor of Halloween Town from Nightmare Before Christmas, I'm going to share some of my thoughts, a review-ish, but more a few of my thoughts on a particular part of Nightmare Before Christmas. So, here goes. Everybody knows about Nightmare Before Christmas. Disney has changed the Haunted Mansion during the seasons to the Nightmare Before Christmas theme. There's just been a lot that Nightmare Before Christmas has done in all of our psyches and in popular culture. Actually, one of my favorite childhood memories of Nightmare Before Christmas was going to see it in theaters and then coming out, and there's a little kid with a little Kermit the Frog doll screaming after watching that movie. So, sorry about your childhood. So anyway, one of the big debates that comes down to the core, because we all love labeling things and we all love debating things, is Nightmare Before Christmas a Christmas movie or a Halloween movie? When is the appropriate time to watch this? So that's why I'm doing this like smack dab right in the middle of the holidays as you're listening to it. I will say this, regardless of what director Henry Selick, by the way, Nightmare Before Christmas is probably one of the greatest movies that Tim Burton has never directed. Tim Burton created the story, but at the time he was directing Batman Returns. And so he was like, hey, Henry, you're good with animation and directing stuff like that. Let's get you over to this little project that I'm cranking out with Danny Elfman. Henry Selick did a tremendous job directing it. He directed like Monkey Bone and I can't remember other than Monkey Bone things he's directed, but his name has been around there. But I did read in an article when it was addressing this topic whether Nightmare Before Christmas is a Halloween or a Christmas movie, Henry Selick, the director, said Nightmare Before Christmas is a Halloween movie. And I say to that, nay. It is not a Halloween movie. It is a Christmas movie, and I'll tell you why. So first off, Halloween is shown very little in this movie. And I get it. Like, the whole point of the movie is these creatures, or this whole society of people who represent Halloween, are now taking on Christmas. Most of the movie is lived in the Halloween atmosphere and aesthetic, which, yeah, very heavy and inundated with all of that fun, creepy stuff. However, what always, like, turned the argument for me was that it was the fact that Christmas over here was what infected all of these people of the all these creatures of Halloween Town. And so it was these Halloween folks trying to put on Christmas. So Halloween really was like the backdrop for it, and it was like something that you weren't really focusing on too much other than the styles of everything. But like the driving force, everybody's motivation for everything, was actually Christmas. So it was Jack Skellington, like the king, the pumpkin king, who was infected so much with like Christmas all around. And, ooh, what are these Christmas cookies and, oh, snowmen and all these wonderful Christmas things. Oh, I want to do this so badly. Oh, I love this. I love that. So that's really like the infection that that came upon Jack Skellington was Christmas, all of this Christmas stuff. And as far as like a driving force between Halloween and celebrating Halloween, that was very little. Halloween was actually like in the first 3 to 5 minutes of the movie, however long that song is. That's how long you actually spend, you know, celebrating Halloween. Other than that, it's really fun to watch everybody do all these Halloween people do Christmas. But that is my statement, is that Nightmare Before Christmas is more of a Christmas movie than a Halloween movie. So, hope you all had a fantastic Halloween. Enjoy the wonderful transition. And I'll see you next time on What Do I Know?
Thank you, Matt, for another great installment of What Do I Know? I think it's a both movie.
Yeah.
It has a song called This Is Halloween. Come on. Come on. I mean, he did say it's only about 2.5 minutes long at the beginning of the movie, but still.
But what happens at the end of the movie?
They go back to celebrating Halloween because they realize that they should be doing Halloween,
that's
not Christmas.
Who they are.
Because they screwed up Christmas pretty badly. Henry Selick also did Coraline for those folks out there, which is another stop motion.
That's a very good movie.
That is a good one.
It is a very good one, actually.
Creepy.
That's one of Samantha's favorite movies.
Coraline?
Yeah. It's a good one. She loves that movie. In fact,
that sounds about right.
Had we had a girl, Coraline was on the list.
It's a nice name.
Of names. Yes.
And you'd have dressed up as
butt-eyed parents. The other parents? Hi.
Terrifying.
Yeah, I think it's a both movie. Christmas is a both movie. I think you can watch that movie anytime, really.
It's an anytime movie in your
house.
I've
watched that movie in July.
Yeah. What? Okay. So, real quick side tangent. How come we don't watch, Christmas Story or Christmas Vacation or whatnot in July? Why do we reserve Christmas movies?
Depends on the movie.
Even, scary movies to an extent. Why do we wait? Can't watch scary movies. It's not October. I mean, I watch horror movies all the time, but
We watch scary movies in October.
We live in a society.
Let's celebrate Halloween.
We live in a society.
But why do we keep it on lockdown? It's can't watch Frosty the Snowman. It's not December yet.
I don't know. I'm down with it.
I know.
Only being out on Christmas.
We hold it. We hold it dear.
It's Die Hard, you can watch anytime, but even though it's Christmas time. But.
Oh, it's just funny. We don't do that with anything else. We don't do any of that with anything else. Only the special holiday stuff. Christmas,
Groundhog
it's really
Day,
Christmas,
anytime.
Right? So. It's really the Christmas stuff, which is funny. Oh, we just watched something that had a Christmas intro to it, and Samantha's like, "So is this a Christmas movie?" And I was like, "No, but it's taking place at Christmas." And I was like, "I guess fine, we'll put it on the list. It can be a Christmas movie." I think it was Halloween. I forget what it was. Anyway, all that being said, let's take a quick commercial break. Oh, my iPad lets me down every time.
Uh-oh.
After these messages, we'll be right back. You like to see something strange?
Come with us and you will see. This is our town of Halloween.
This is Halloween. This is Halloween. Pumpkins scream in the dead of night.
This is Halloween. Everybody make a scene.
Trick or treat.
Tell the neighbors on the diaphragm.
It's our town.
Everybody's free.
It's town of Halloween.
I am the one hiding under your bed. Teeth ground sharp and eyes glowing red.
I am the one hiding under your stairs. Fingers like snakes and spiders in my hair.
This is Halloween. This is Halloween. Halloween, 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 Halloween.
In this town we call home, everyone hail to the pumpkin song.
In this town, don't we love it now? Everybody's waiting for the next surprise.
Down that corner and hiding in the trash can. Something's waiting there to pounce and how you'll scream.
This is Halloween.
Red and black.
And slimy green.
Aren't you scared?
Well, that's just fine.
Say it once, say it twice. Take a chance and roll the dice.
Ride with the moon in the dead of night.
Everybody scream. Everybody scream.
Hear our town of Halloween.
I am the clown with the tearaway face.
Here in a flash and bother than trace.
I am the who in the cuckoo's stare.
I am the wind blowing through your hair.
I am the shadow on the moon at night, filling your dreams to the brim with fright.
This is Halloween, this is Halloween, Halloween, Halloween.
our job.
But we're not mean
in our town of Halloween.
In this town,
don't we love it now?
Everyone's waiting for the next surprise.
Skeleton Jack might catch you in the back and
scream like a banshee, make you jump out of your skin.
This is Halloween, everybody scream.
Won't you please make way for a very special guy?
Warner Jack is king of the pumpkin patch. Everyone hail to the pumpkin king.
Now this is Halloween, this is Halloween. Halloween, 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 Halloween.
Everyone
hail to the pumpkin song.
Halloween, Halloween,
Halloween, Halloween, Halloween, Halloween.
Back to the show.
What you watching?
Well,
my list is too long.
Yeah.
What have you watched?
Cut it in half. I watched El Camino.
Don't talk to me.
I have watched El Camino.
I know, you talked about it last time.
Just need to be pushing buttons over here.
Push those
buttons. Yeah, you watched nothing. Mass Singer? Dancing with the Stars?
Pushing some
buttons. I was trying to remember. I wanted to listen to the end of it. Last episode that when we talked about that, because I couldn't remember exactly what you said about it, but
El Camino,
yeah, I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it too.
I enjoyed it. It was wholly unnecessary.
Okay,
unnecessary.
Yeah,
not necessary at all. Like, because it, I won't spoil it, but it pretty much goes the way I would imagine most people hoped it would go.
That's kind of why I was saying that I thought that it was
you know.
An apology to the character, like after,
yeah.
As a writer.
Okay, here's what I hope. I hope Jesse goes and hooks up with Skyler, becomes infatuated with her, and then they start boning. And then they get married. Then he becomes a dad to Walt Jr.
Pound town.
And then they live happily ever after with their millions of dollars.
That's pretty much it.
Yes!
And Skyler's scenes are topless. So as long as that, that's what I hope for Jesse.
Wow.
they go to pound town.
Yeah, bitch!
Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
He's sweet.
Did he have more than one bitch in there? I think
there was exactly one bitch.
Yeah.
There's one bitch.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that was in a flashback.
So lame.
Yeah.
I wonder if someone's that had to be someone's decision. Like
lame. Right. It's a lame decision.
Like, we have to put this. It's got to be in here, but we can't.
And I wonder if he was like, there.
I don't want to say that.
Then don't be Jesse Pinkman, because Jesse Pinkman says bitch.
Yeah.
See, now. In the woke age, using the word bitch isn't as, like, used to be very free to use the word.
I think we still are. I think bitch has been robbed of all power in that regard.
Has it?
As far as being a gendered.
A derogatory thing.
Derogatory insult. I'm not a woman, so I can't adequately answer that. Maybe there are women who still feel very, very strongly about it.
And there are.
Bitch is also a word that has been reclaimed as in, like, yas, bitch. Like,
right,
you know?
Right,
so.
Right.
I don't know.
But I think the Jesse Pinkman way of saying it is pretty bad.
Really?
Yeah, because he only usually says it to men.
Yeah, I don't think it's...
And using the word, calling somebody a bitch in the Jesse Pinkman way to a man, like, you're a bitch, is like implying that they're a soft, weak, pussy woman,
etc.
Where it's like, well, maybe not calling somebody like a woman or a sissy or whatever.
Sure.
I think that's more what when a dude calls a dude a bitch. I think that's more what they're coming from.
So, one of my favorite curse words is bitch ass. Like I throw bitch ass.
Yeah, the old bitch ass.
Yes, it's great. It's great.
These bitch ass chicken nuggets.
Yeah, whatever. And it just makes whatever you're saying great. Yeah. So I always like use it for the Cardinals. God, the bitch ass Cardinals. I hate the Cardinals. Bitch ass Cardinals.
Well, there's
but
no
man,
like...
is that should I not be saying that?
No, but see, you're not using you're not calling a person that's supposed to be masculine a bitch.
Right. Yeah.
Like, don't be a little bitch. Like, when you say that to somebody,
right?
You're like saying don't be such a pussy or whatever, which is implying that they are weak. Like
right.
a woman.
Right. No, for sure.
So that's where it's wrong.
I grew up with a plethora of insults.
But I say son of a bitch all the time.
I didn't explicitly think of bitch as a gendered insult until I was told that it was a gendered insult.
Right.
I didn't think fag was a...
But I learned bitch in the context of, like, quit your bitching. Like, stop complaining.
Right.
So I thought, like, if you're a bitch, like, you just bitched about things. And then I learned more about it.
Right. Like, women are little nags, and they got to quit their bitching.
Right. Because for me, the ultimate gendered insult is see you next Tuesday. Like, that's just just it from an American perspective too, right?
Dude, the Britons use the word,
them and the Australians throw it around out of style. Right. So it's so over great. There. It's not so much a gendered thing. I don't know. It's complicated.
Brings me to my newest television obsession.
Yes,
Letterkenny. Mm. Now, neither of you have seen any of it.
Nope.
I saw that you posted about that you want somebody to watch it.
Apparently, a lot of people watch it. Because there's a lot of people who are like,
I'm sure they do.
Pitter patter, let's get at her, which is like one of the silly things they say. Mm. So it's a very sort of stylized show that plays up these country Canadian stereotypes and types and stereotypes, mm-hmm. And that are very kind of foreign to us, like literally foreign to us. But mm-hmm. it's just different. But it's so well done. So in the very first, I recommend everybody who's listening to me turn on the very season one, episode one. It'll take 5 minutes to like see if you think that like this is something that you might like or something. I don't know if it would like turn you off or it might just make you go meh. But
such language.
It's so fun and clever. And and what I like about it is they kind of have these different groups of people in Letterkenny. The skids, who are like meth heads-ish. The hicks, who are like the farmers. There's the hockey players. Maybe there's a couple other groups. But no one is played down at, necessarily. No one is given like one dimension where others are given two or three dimensions. Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
So everyone, and no, the hicks aren't played as dumb. They clearly, like, they have a good amount of intelligence, even though they go about their business a little bit differently.
Unconventionally.
And it's so funny. So there's one bit in there that I'm going to talk about that I really want you guys to see.
Okay.
So there's the hockey players, and there's a rash of trash talk that happens in the hockey leagues. Like, nice skating, 99s, look at that, you do that, blah, blah, blah. And talk about your mother and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's this one character who's the teammate of these two guys who have this kind of bromance going on, who are the main two hockey players. And they're always talking about each other's mom. And they're like, fuck you, Shorzy. Fuck you, Riley.
Yeah.
Like, tell your mom she needs to bump up my phone card plan so we can FaceTime. and it's just all about how it's so fun. And it goes on and on and on. And it's this guy who you never see his face. He's always either in the toilet or sometimes they show him in the shower, but he's like just the back of his head in the shower. And it's this most ridiculous, fun, silly fun stuff. And it's nice. Dang, if I'm not 5 or 6 seasons in now. And
Was it on?
Is it a
Hulu
sketch comedy? Is it?
It's.
Is it scripted? Is it?
It's scripted. It's scripted. And, yep. And kind of filmed on location. Because
it looked very sketch comedy-ish.
It's not. It's not like Kids in the Hall where they do. It's like an actual storyline. There's characters.
Where there's people to follow along with.
There's characters
and stuff,
for sure. And the characters kind of, are come into play and fall out and come back in and into the storyline.
Because I think what I've seen of it.
I've never saw anything before I turned it on.
Like, I swear I've seen like a little trailer or something, or maybe an ad or something. Or maybe when I was flipping through Hulu, I like stopped on it for a second. But it gave me the feel of Portlandia.
Hmm. Right.
Which is very sketch comedy.
It's not, though. I mean, I'm not that Portlandia is not.
Right.
It's not like that. Yeah. It's definitely because Portlandia definitely they right. It even just, though they have like
it
characters,
looked, it looked like where they have characters that you kind of follow along
and
with.
And that yeah, right. But it's definitely that's a sketch comedy thing.
Right.
It's not really like that. It kind of is a little bit.
It's the characters you because
they'll do story
repeat
lines.
Over, but it's more like character the vignettes of the characters you know.
Yeah. So just like in Portlandia where they go to the chicken farm because right. they want to find out about that. So they do a whole big long thing and they might have some characters that they've introduced before.
Right.
They have storylines and here where they, but it's all, yeah, it's all based on the characters
I dig it.
In the town. And, it's fun stuff.
And it's on Hulu.
Yep.
Hulu.
Yep. So that's one thing I'm watching.
What else?
I watched, Isn't It Romantic? Do we remember this?
Nope. But no? Immediately
it's
I go, boo.
It's the Rebel Wilson, hits her head and wakes up inside a romantic comedy movie. We were just like scanning HBO, like, oh, let's give it a shot. It could
How
be funny.
It?
It was not terrible.
Okay.
It was not terrible. A lot of it's actually pretty funny.
What was the Amy Schumer one like that?
Trainwreck?
Nope.
Yeah, her more recent one where. Yep.
Where she is
she
like.
She just felt like she was.
Now I'm the hot girl, even though like, oh, like
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Where she like gets hit while she's exercising and then like thinks she's hot, which is dumb because I mean I think Schumer's quite attractive anyway. So it's like wait
two times.
Wait what? Okay. But anyway, I got turned off by that movie because
did you watch it?
Nope, I didn't because of my bias towards Rebel Wilson.
I don't think she's particularly funny. Or good.
That's it. Yes, that's it. And like she.
And I also feel that way about Adam Devine. Devine.
Is he the guy in it?
He's like the friend.
Got it. It's just Rebel Wilson to me is like in your face, brash. Like I'm a raunchy girl, and haha,
like,
it's
less
funny because I farted or whatever, like that kind of thing. But I'm like.
See that part of it is that part of her like shtick is way toned down in this movie.
Okay,
like not so much the point of this one.
Like her character's Fat Amy in Pitch Perfect. Like
right,
and she,
it's like haha, I'm big.
It's like I'm a big brash girl. Yeah, haha, I'm in your face, and I say what I'm thinking, and it's funny, and I'm like,
eh. Is it?
I mean, it is the first eight times you see it,
and
I
you know,
guess.
And but to be fair, we laughed at Fat Guy in a Little Coat.
I mean,
to be fair,
which is also hilarious.
It's hilarious. Fat Guy in a Little Coat, Richard. Fat Guy in a Little Coat.
I was just on the other day too. Like just the other day.
Saw somebody posted like their Halloween costume was there like a chubby little baby, like in a small little coat, like swinging back and forth. And I was like, this is the best Halloween costume I've ever seen on a child in my whole life.
That's funny. That's great.
Yeah.
Fat guy in a little coat. Sorry.
Funny stuff.
Her oh, boyfriend's good. One of the Yankees.
Richard.
Are you watching Spanktravision?
Speaking of no one's looking.
But no, it's the movie's enjoyable.
Nice.
And Liam Hemsworth is actually really good in it.
Is it as meta as it should be?
Like, oh, totally. Yeah. And some of them are a little over the top where you're like, really? Okay. Actually, a lot of it's really over the top, but not in a way that's
I love a good
super off-putting
meta movie.
But they're very aware of like we're doing romantic comedy tropes, and we're going to do all the romantic comedy tropes.
Like Scream is a perfect like meta horror movie. Yeah. Last Action Hero, I hate. Samantha loves that movie.
You don't like Last Action Hero?
I do. Samantha loves that movie.
I love Last Action Hero.
I hate the kid so much.
Oh, the kid is terrible.
But the meta-ness of that movie. I'd love a good like meta.
If that
movie
came out today, it would be a smash hit.
Yes,
it was way too. It was ahead of its time.
It's true though.
It really was though.
Yeah,
but this movie is enjoyable.
Arnold Schwarzenegger plays. What's his name in the movie? I don't know.
Oh my god,
I can't.
I don't remember. Jack, something.
Something. Anyway, he plays like an action movie star.
Oh, okay.
And then he comes to real life.
In the real world.
In the real world. And then the bad guy shows up. And it's very funny.
Charles Dance is the villain in it, and he's fantastic.
With his weird one eye.
Yeah.
Right on.
You should. I mean, it's cheesy as fuck, but it's great.
Right on.
Yeah, in the same vein. They wink and nod at, like, this is what action movies do, and this winks and nods. This is what romantic comedies do. Like, the whole And this is one of those, like, the funniest joke in the movie is in the trailer. Like, she wants to sleep with Liam Neeson. And, like, in romantic comedies, like, you never see that part. It skips over that. So, like, she just, like, wakes up in bed. And he comes up like, ah, oh, good morning, beautiful, out of the shower, all, like, shiny and sexy. He's like, wasn't that wonderful? She's like, wasn't what wonderful? Nothing
Damn
happened.
It!
Like, it just skipped ahead. So she, like, goes and, like, jumps on him. And then it cuts again to her. And she goes, she does, like, four or five times in a row. And that part is laugh out loud. I'm like, that's funny. Really funny. It's like, she wants to have sex with him, but she can't because you don't see
it
that.
It cuts away to PG-13. Yeah, right.
That's really funny.
That's good.
It pans to the curtains.
Yeah. And, like, her, like.
Pan up to the curtains.
And, like, the sassy gay friend stereotype guy who's, like, being a sassy gay friend. He's like. Like, they nail, like, so much of those tropes. Like, nice. This person never has a job. He's always available. He's always there to rescue you. He's always right there at the right time. And he just, like, he'll appear magically, like, near her. Like, so, yeah, some of the stuff is, like, really good. But her, she's actually not the worst part of the movie. Adam Devine, how the fuck do you say his name?
Yeah.
He's far and above the worst part. I just don't like him as an actor at all.
He's never been a fan.
I just don't, like, his.
He's funny at times.
He's got the, like, I'm trying really hard to be funny energy, and I just don't. Ever respond to that.
Well, you probably would not like Righteous Gemstones then.
Oh, really?
He
I mean, I don't think that show that's one of my things I've watched. It's not great. Like, if it's all done now, just wrapped up.
Oh, really?
It's kind of like
meh. It's unfortunate to me that Adam Devine has one of those faces that I'm just like, you're such a fucking prick. Like, I know nothing, nothing about him. And I've heard him give interviews where he's like, you know, been struggling actor to come up and like he writes all his own stuff. Like he's a very hard worker and like he's very whatever. He's like, to me, like what Seth Rogen is.
I was going to say more Bradley Cooper. Like
I love me some Bradley Cooper though.
But yeah.
But like he's hardworking. He's very funny. Like he's comedy chops are there.
Yeah.
Like, but for some reason, Seth Rogen rubs you the wrong way, right. Even though he's like behind the scenes of all these like very big name things and he's like in charge of it and like all this stuff. Same with Adam Devine. But I'm just like, you are such a little fucking shit.
Like, I don't like him either.
When I see his face, I'm just like, I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't like his face.
It's
yeah.
one of those things.
I just
you know
don't
what?
Like his face.
You know, at Pets, there were certain
dogs.
It's
like a dog that sees another dog.
Exactly.
Like,
there were
like
certain dogs. They're like, you never let. Them out and be in the same place
I don't
together.
Like that fucking dog.
Because they'll just they meet as soon as they see like each me. Other, they're going after each other.
I'm trying to think if there's anything that I've seen him in where I actually enjoyed him.
Couldn't tell you.
Wasn't he? Oh, he was Workaholics.
Yep, he was the creator of that show. Mm-hmm. I never watched it.
It was funny song. Yeah, but you know, it's kind of almost like Seth Rogen-ish.
He is in Pitch Perfect. He's funny in that. I'll give him that.
He was funny on Modern Family. Like he played like a. He played a role in Modern Family.
He's in Modern Family.
Yeah. He's been a lot of stuff. So I'm sorry. Are you all done?
I have one more.
Go ahead.
Unless you want to. I like the switching off.
All right,
I liked Mike and Dave. That was a funny movie.
So two things wrapped up on HBO. Succession, which was freaking great.
Is that like over or is
for the season.
Oh, okay.
It's definitely moving on. The storyline definitely is moving on. It kind of peaked in the middle. And I was talking about that the dinner scene that was like so great. It still is so great. And there's like two or three in the middle that are great.
That was like the best part of the season though.
I think so. Yes. And then it kind of like fell off a little bit. It was still really good. And then it ended really strong. Mm-hmm. And so that one was really good. Righteous Gemstones. I kind of just hate watched till the end. And
that's too bad. Cause I thought that looked like it would be.
It looks like
good.
It has very good potential.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, in my opinion, it's just not.
It misses the mark.
I think, yeah, it's just scattered and it, a lot of it just doesn't make sense and yeah, I think it's rushed. It's not great and leaning on Danny
McBride
humor and Alan and they all just like it's all just too potty for being potty and not like clever potty, you know, like clever crude. So that one kind of went with a whimper for sure.
Sure.
The Deuce ended, which I didn't watch like straight through. I watched it, and then I stopped watching it, and then Andrea got into it, so we kind of watched it together, and then we watched it and watched it again. It's a good story. If you're familiar with, if you've ever been to, you've been to Times Square before, mm-hmm. and you know that the Times Square of today is drastically different from the Times Square of the 70s.
Right.
And so kind of telling the story how it got from here to there is an interesting story for sure. But it got a little disjointed at times. And
these are all HBO, right?
This is HBO. Yeah. And they tried to tell a little bit more. And
BJ's
kinda,
a man of class.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's that not, and AMC and
PBS. He doesn't watch TV.
Yes.
Watches HBO.
But
it's not just TV.
What it did, but the deuce, HBO. What the deuce did, is kind of like the Me Too movement, and how you like could not unsee something after you already seen it.
Right.
So yes. Like, in a way, it was like, man, this is kind of ruining a lot of porn and stuff. You know, it's like, which kind of sucks, but maybe it's for the best. But anyway, that ended too.
No, what ruins porn is the titles of porn videos.
All About Your Sister?
Yes! It's like, when? Why? Why? Or you start the video and it's like the first words out of her mouth are like, ugh, but you're my brother. And I'm like, yeah. Shut up with that. I just want to see two hot people doing it.
Right.
Like, what does it need to be themed? Like, right. What is happening?
Now, yeah, exactly.
That's like the popular thing right now.
But why?
Are the incest... fans are the incest fans.
They're ruining.
Are they that big, or are they just super duper vocal and feel like they have to label everything?
It's everything, dude.
A little bit of both. Though.
All of the videos, all of them.
That's weird.
But anyway, this kind of gets into the spirit of it, and it's kind of, you know, they talk about actresses who, like, once they do it. There's a very good storyline, and it's based on a true story where a Maggie Gyllenhaal character. She's a hot prostitute. She's a prostitute. And it's not pretty at all. Like, none of it is prettied up.
Right.
Sure.
But she ends up getting into porn, and then she wants to start making movies, and she starts making porn, and she makes a name for herself, and then she's really becomes an artist and wants to and makes a movie. And she ends up making a movie that has a hard time, like, finishing it. But it has to be a porn movie because that's the kind of movie she makes. And her friend, who's another pornographer but also, like, a film guy, begs her to take the porn out,
right?
Take the sex out. Like, this is a film. This is like a film. You need to take out the fucking, because otherwise it's going to be painted with this brush that'll never get the attention that it deserves. And apparently it's a true story about a woman who did that, and she had this movie, and then after she died, the movie got discovered, and it became like this, like, art house, like, classic.
Nice.
So it's interesting, but
interesting,
and it's worth a watch for sure. I mean, the story's good, and there's a lot of good performances in it too.
Totally.
But anyway,
anything else?
Yeah, I watched Glass.
Me too. That's on my list.
Hey, there we go.
Is that on HBO?
Yeah.
Yes.
You guys are like HBO.
HBO's where it's at.
Yeah, man, that's where it is, man.
Waste my time with
Watchmen's next, man.
Yeah. Watchmen's legit. Watchmen is so good. But Glass, what'd you think?
I liked it too.
Some of it I felt like I didn't like all of it.
It was so. Because I don't want to.
You want to ruin it?
I want to ruin it.
Right.
Is it ruinable? Like, is it really, like, ruinable?
Yeah,
like, really?
Yeah. No.
Like, really?
No. Like, it's not like a Sixth Sense thing,
right,
where you're like,
right. It's not.
Yeah.
It's
so not. Talk at will.
I feel like it was telegraphed from, like, the very beginning, you know, like the reveal. Like, there wasn't, like, there's no other reason to explain why they're there in the institution at this one person's disposal, you know, like, it doesn't make any sense otherwise.
Unless
something nefarious is going on.
I guess so. But.
Right?
And I guess that explains, you know,
that's my one.
The,
like,
thing it sort of explains it, because you're there going, wait a minute now, this guy's a criminal.
Right.
Why is he in this room? Like, and then they're like
unchained.
And then the two doors open, and then he sees
each other.
Literally run to each other.
Yeah,
you're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't they be locked up? These are prisoners.
Yeah, those little bits of it make no sense.
Yeah.
I like the story in general, though.
The,
like,
story
is kind of cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too.
And
is it a good trilogy? In the fact that all three movies are good, would you call it? I mean, it is a trilogy.
Yeah. No. Totally.
No. Yeah. At all, the storyline, it works. It works for that. And it's good.
Yeah.
It's good. Like, it ties up. It's fun. I mean, like, to me, like, Unbreakable is great. Like, it's just a great.
Unbreakable is a masterpiece.
Yeah,
Unbreakable is really good.
Yeah,
and Split is.
Split was really good. I wanted to see it again. I should maybe if I saw it again and then watch Glass again, I might even appreciate it more.
Yeah,
because I think that there's probably stuff that they played to, and in fact, I know they did play to Split, but I don't. I remember enjoying it, but I don't remember that much about it.
Like James McAvoy is brilliant
in this
and in Split. Like yeah. Because you can.
James McAvoy is good.
He's so good.
He's super good.
He's so good in it that he can just move a little bit differently or like do something like with his body and you know who he is.
Yeah.
And that's ridiculous.
It's impressive.
Like that's no one should be that good. It's too good. And the fact that I don't think anybody really talked about it like after the movie came out, like because a lot of people were just kind of disappointed, I think, with the ending.
Right.
You know, and which I totally get. Like I thought it was good. Like I like the ending. Uh-huh. I really do. He's like, this is an origin story. Like, this isn't, like, we aren't the story. Like, the story is whatever happens after us.
Right.
Which I thought was really cool. But a lot of people were like, argh! Like, I don't want it to end that way. Like, they want the big show.
Well, yeah, this is the third
part
of
the big showdown.
Thing, right?
Blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Exactly.
It's a trilogy. So the whole, like, and that's the way in which you subvert expectations and you do it, I think, well. I suppose, like, people talking about, like, Star Wars, like, with The Last Jedi, like, it just subverts expectations just for the sake of subverting expectations, not because there's something artful or important to say or do by
Wrong
doing that.
This hand. See? Yeah. You thought it was this one.
He threw the lightsaber at the beginning.
Yeah. But Glass does something that subverts your expectations in a way that says...
We made this decision wisely.
Yeah, and that not every story... is as big and epic as you think it is in the way that it is. Like, not everything is the way it seems on the surface.
Every story new.
It's by far the best performance I've seen Bruce Willis do in a long time.
Casting
I would say.
Centuries aside.
Like, it seemed like he really...
He's in something
like
else.
Like, he was there and he gave a shit. Yeah.
He's in something else coming up.
I didn't hate Sarah Paulson in this, even though usually don't like her and stuff.
Yeah, sometimes I have a problem with her, and I didn't in this.
She just looks perpetually sad. That's what it is. Like, she just has this face shape, whereas, like, the emotion I get from her is just dour and sad all the time.
I'm trying to think of what the very first thing I saw her in was. I don't know if it was Deadwood.
But in this, I didn't get that from her. The first thing I saw her in was Studio 60.
Motherless Brooklyn. Yeah. Bruce Willis is in Motherless Brooklyn.
Interesting.
Which is the new Ed Norton movie.
I want to see that.
And it looks very good. And I just heard Ed Norton talking about it and how he's like, Bruce is really, really good.
All right.
And I'm like, word, because I trust you, Ed Norton.
Yeah, and it's like Edward Norton in Motherless Brooklyn. That's like one of the like the star turn like headlines for it.
Well, he directed it, didn't he?
Did he?
I think he wrote and directed it.
Really? So, okay.
He doesn't do... It's so weird because, again, I heard him on Dax Shepard's podcast, I think. Conan? No, Dax. Anyway, some podcasts I listen to. And he doesn't do that ever. He doesn't go on talk shows. He doesn't do anything. What can you tell me about Edward Norton? Do you know anything about him?
Nope.
Nobody does because he doesn't do it. And because he thinks that it detracts from the movies. And A, he's very private. But B, he's like... You know, if I go out and talk about whatever, da da da, you know, my dog ate dog food this morning and it was funny, and then he had diarrhea, and then go see Fight Club.
Right.
He's like, that's why I don't do talk shows and stuff because he thinks it detracts from the art.
He's trying to preserve the magic.
Exactly.
The movie.
Where he's like, you shouldn't see Edward Norton up there. You should see, you know, the guy from
Jack.
American History X, or you should see...
I am Jack's complete lack of surprise.
You should see...
Kind of buy that movie.
Him in Death to Smoochie.
It's an ownable movie.
It is. That's, we were doing that.
Death to Smoochie.
So good.
Take a brief tangent. Hit it.
Tangent train.
I finally unpacked my movie collection.
It's
been in a box. So there's the stack. You probably saw that on Instagram. There's like a whole stack of movies here, and there's like a bunch of other stuff. I wanted to pare down the movies to stuff that is like, I have to own this movie.
Right.
Not just stuff that I have because I have it, but stuff that's like, this movie is good enough that I will hold on to it forever. And that was harder than I thought it was going to be.
There's a lot of movies.
I would hold on to most.
Because there are a lot of them where I was like, ooh, this is, oh, but this, oh, this is good, though. This is good.
Yes.
And there were a couple that I let go. Like, I let go of, because Lindsay and I, we like bounced them off of each other because some of them were hers. And some, most of them were, the vast majority of them were mine. But some of them were hers. And I was like, hey, do you want to keep this? She's like, yeah. And I'm like, really, though? And she goes, no, you're right.
You Marie Kondo'd it.
Yeah, basically. And I pulled up, you know, one of the stipulations was, how often will I watch this? Or will I even watch it?
Right.
And one of them was A Few Good Men, which I really enjoy that movie.
You got rid of it, didn't you?
I got rid of it.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm like,
that's like one, I think I'm like, one of my when am I gonna
go down this row, these rows of movies and go, you know what I feel like watching right now? A Few Good Men. A Few Good Men is one of those movies where you flip by TBS and it's on. You're like,
you leave it on.
Oh, cool. I can watch this.
Right.
But
yeah,
I don't do that anymore.
You don't channel surf to stop at movies anymore.
And right. That's the other thing. I don't see myself just purposely picking out that movie and saying, all right, tonight we're going to watch A Few Good Men. Because I've seen it just so many times. Like,
so
I could sit here and I could do the whole fucking Jack Nicholson speech if I really wanted to, I think.
Good.
Maybe most of it anyway. But yeah. And there are a lot of movies that I let go of. One, because either they're on DVD and I'm like, you know, I should have the Blu-ray of this. Like, this is a movie I like enough to get it and have it like looking sweet and nice.
Yes.
But a lot of them, yeah, whereas, like, any given Sunday, a movie that I like, I like that movie, but it's like,
meh,
how often am I going to watch this?
Yeah.
Do I need to own it? I don't need to
own it. The eyeball, come on. Yeah. Get out of here with the eyeball.
Yeah.
So, Edward Norton spawned that thought. Did you ditch an Edward Norton movie, or was it?
No.
No. Weird. Just really somehow
just
slipped into your...
It was just making, no, but it was making me think about, like you know, the art of... Like, I want to keep movies that, like...
Right.
Elicit something.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Strong, you know? And that when I go down so many times... How many times have you looked at your wall of movies and thought, I don't know. It's like kind of like the same, like, when you're browsing through Netflix or Amazon or Hulu, and you're passing by all this, like, you know, whatever stuff, and you finally hit on something that's good, you're like, oh, that's good. But do I really feel like watching that right now?
Right.
No, I'll keep going.
Yes.
And then
add
you keep going.
List.
And you go through a bunch of other junk, and you see something else that you kind of like. You're like, oh, I don't really feel like watching that right now either. So what if I just had a shelf that was just all stuff that I love?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's like a Blu-ray of Heat.
Yeah, but then
Blu-ray
you're still looking like, I'm not in the drama mood. I don't know if I want comedy. Like, it's still the same problem, just narrowed down.
But I think if it's narrowed down and you're going from, you know, only a handful of this type of movie to that type of movie versus like a full library of them, it'll be easier to actually pick something.
So we did that with just our DVDs, only we didn't get rid of them. What we did is we got the big old CD binders that hold 400 CDs.
And they still make this?
And we filled up two of them.
Oh my gosh.
You got rid of
with
the cases?
With just DVDs.
That's impressive.
Not the Blu-rays.
Yeah.
Just throw the cases out?
Yeah, got rid of it. Yeah. Tossed them.
Yeah.
Just the DVDs. And after the fact, we told my brother, yeah, we just finally got rid of, like, because they take up too much room. And we're like, we narrowed it down to the two cases, which is great. And granted, the second case is mostly, like, TV shows. It's like, here's Grey's Anatomy season one.
Right.
12 discs, whatever, for season
right.
one. So, like, that's why the second one. Anyway. But I was like, after we told my brother we did that, he's like, damn it. Like, I wish you would have told me, because apparently... On the Movies Anywhere that we share, the Vudu app or whatever, you can buy the digital version of a movie anywhere from $1 to $2 if you take a picture of the UPC label. And I was like, son of a bitch, we could have converted all these to whatever for, you know, $400, you know, if you think about it, a dollar a movie, but...
Yeah.
Still, you get to pick the ones that you really want and
it's
just snap
investment, and you have that
snap a picture, and you have it for the whole family forever.
Now, when you die, you should be able to pass that on to your kid.
I'm sure you can.
I imagine that you can.
Eventually.
I wonder, though. I mean, like, this
here's
whole,
my login info.
The cloud's going to be related to, yeah, exactly.
The
it's going to be
how that happens.
So,
but yeah, we now have just two big old binders of DVDs. We still have all the Blu-rays, but we also have all the DVDs because we couldn't get rid of them.
That brings up something interesting, is that when you buy a digital copy, like say on Amazon, you buy it on Amazon Video, you don't necessarily own that movie. Like
you
it can
just
it can
secure
still,
you the rights to watch it.
It can still go away.
Yeah, because if Amazon's like, oh, we can't hold this movie anymore.
Is that how it is on iTunes when you bought digital stuff and you've bought movies? I've bought movies on
I don't know.
I think so.
But you don't really buy the movie. You just buy the right to watch it.
You're buying access.
Access
to it.
Yes.
For
somebody was just talking about that.
For a little
something
bit.
I listened to.
But most of these will let you download it.
Like, think of it like Netflix, where, like, you don't buy whatever Netflix has. You're buying the access to watch it.
Right.
Right.
But if, say, or, like, say there was, like, a Fox thing standalone or whatever. You you had all these movies in Fox, and then all of a sudden Disney buys Fox. Mm-hmm. And then Disney opens their own Disney thing, and if you don't pay Disney for it, they're all gone because they're not on Fox anymore. You can't watch it on the Fox thing because they moved them over here.
Yep.
And that's reality.
Right? Yep. I don't think there's a standalone Fox thing, but...
That was making
but that's Disney where it's owns, like they don't have the access anymore.
Because I have like...
Disney owns it now, right?
So they pull it from here to put it over here.
On Amazon Video, I have The Last Jedi. I have Thor Ragnarok.
You can still watch those.
Avengers.
They can't pull those.
Infinity War and Endgame. They might.
I mean, they could, I guess.
They could.
They will.
they can and they could and they might.
Yeah, but if you paid for it, they have to...
That's what I'm talking about.
Stick it somewhere. I know, but...
You could download it.
Right.
Like, I can download it, which is what I'll probably end up doing. Because I need to help build a whole media storage apparatus anyway.
I'm getting Disney Plus. When is that coming out?
November 12th.
November 12th.
12 days from right now.
Oh, sweet. You know what I'm going to watch? I'm going to watch Black Hole.
Song of the South.
Song of the South.
It's not going to be on there.
I'm going to start a petition for Disney to release it.
I don't mind that I'm basically a slave.
What else? Oh, Swiss Family Robinson.
Oh, my God. I never heard that before.
I made it up. Man.
That's fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
That was money.
Thank you very much.
That's a legit parody you could do.
Oh.
Like, for real.
Uncle Richard.
Zippity. Oh, that was good. The wheels are turning. Stop the turning wheels.
The wheels are turning.
I'll get it for a month. They might end up having me for the rest of their life. Who knows?
They already have me for 3 years, guaranteed, because I paid them already for it.
Yeah.
See, and that's the thing. I say I'm really excited and I want to watch Mandalorian, but you know my history of watching things.
Watching movies, yeah. Are you going to watch it?
Yes.
Or are you just going to put on Lady and the Tramp? you know, that's the danger.
Well, and the other thing is like...
I am the danger.
The other thing is I have to consciously open... the thing, because we open Netflix and Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Mm-hmm. We rarely go to HBO, and even more rarely go to Amazon. And I'm just like, where is Disney gonna fall in there? Because it's probably gonna be high up because they own nostalgia like it's fucking butter on toast.
It might
like where it's gonna be like, you know what? I could open Netflix and scroll for an hour. Or I could open Disney and scroll for 2 seconds and find something that I know that I love.
It's going to be new also. It'll have that.
I
have a shiny new thing aspect.
It'll just have to see like how long it can maintain it. Like maintain, just like HBO when you're watching a new HBO show. So Watchmen right now is so good. And Catherine the Great is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a little tangent, sorry about that.
Silicon Valley, too.
But anyway, yeah, Silicon Valley, all these shows that you kind of like to watch, once you kind of get on it, they remind you of each other. You get an ad for another show, and it can kind of keep you on once
they
get you on.
They keep making great like short miniseries, which they will because they're
HBO. Disney. Oh, I thought you meant like, how's Disney?
Well, but that's going to be that'll be the next thing that every service is going to have to do. Like, it won't be about, you know... Am I going to subscribe to HBO Max because I want to watch Friends? Like, probably not.
Oh,
like,
what's the new thing? Do you know what it is? HBO has a new thing.
HBO Max.
What is that?
I don't know how it's different than
HBO
what
Go.
They're doing now. I really don't.
I
haven't heard about it.
They're going to have other things on
I
there?
I guess they're going to have other things because they're consolidating some of the other stuff that they own. Like, for whatever reason, Friends is going to be on HBO Max.
Why?
I don't.
Because it's leaving. Is it leaving Netflix?
Mm-hmm.
And going to HBO Max.
But eventually, it's certainly going to NBC standalone.
You mean Disney when they buy NBC?
I think they're all going to. Everything's going to bounce around because content is owned for only a certain period of time now.
Right.
It's weird.
See, that's the thing. Like,
that's why I just want to buy Blu-rays.
The thing with HBO is I tune into HBO to watch new stuff. Like, as much as I love Entourage or Deadwood or whatnot,
Vince
like,
is gonna do the movie.
Like, I'm gonna go back and watch it maybe once a year. Like, when was the last time you rewatched Deadwood? When they made the movie? Or did you even rewatch it? You just watched the movie.
I rewatched a bunch of it. Yeah, I watched. I think when the movie was starting to come out, or
yeah.
I had watched the last.
Because that's one of your favorite shows of all.
Love
time.
It. Yep.
And you've rewatched the series four times,
maybe even four and a half.
So maybe like once a year you go back and revisit it.
Probably less than that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Once every 2 years, maybe.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Like, HBO has good, really good stuff, and it is still like the best place to watch a new release movie. Because they usually get them first before they make their way to Netflix or Amazon or whatnot.
True, true.
But when the Disney thing's there, because like I said, Disney owns nostalgia. And it's like, if I want to watch something back catalog, that's where I'm going to go. I'm not going to go to HBO to watch a back catalog of whatever the fuck. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to Disney to watch DuckTales for the 18th millionth time.
Woo.
Because it's just ingrained in my brain that that's what I should be watching all the time. It's weird. It's weird.
We'll find out. Find out in 2 weeks.
True story.
Or you might not watch anything still.
Right. I'm not going to watch anything. That's what I do.
I'm trying to mostly watch new stuff.
I know.
So,
I think I just
which has been working so far.
Well, because like we've been doing a lot of stuff, like trying to get everything together. So it's literally been The Office again for the 18 millionth time. Because it's just back. We're literally moving around, doing like moving this and putting that there, and just that's on in the background.
Yeah.
Again,
we're watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine because we hadn't seen it.
And we watched Great British Baking Show. That's new. Great British Baking Show. We watched that.
And we're about to follow Sophie Put on Scrubs because I discovered that that's on Hulu. This thing I hate about Hulu is that the interface blows. Like,
yeah.
Like, learn about me a little bit, Hulu. Like, it was just kind of weird to say as we talked all
the
about.
Commercials.
Like,
no, but it's true. Like, their landing screen is like, what is all this
worst.
Nonsense?
Like, why would I fucking watch this? Like, what? No.
Hulu recommends.
Sharknado.
You're wrong.
Like, I saw on some like website random somewhere, yeah, if you want to Scrubs, go on Hulu. I'm like, Scrubs is on Hulu? What?
Right. I should know this.
Why don't I know this? Yeah, yeah. I love that show. Yeah.
Even like the key, do you use a PlayStation to watch Hulu? I use PlayStation.
Me too.
But it's like, on the Samsung.
But you
TV
move app. Over because like there's the Hulu recommends landing page, and then the next title thing over is like keep watching.
Mm-hmm.
And it still doesn't have the things that you were last watching.
No.
You have to go up to, like, My Stuff, and then in the My Stuff thing, under the category of Keep Watching, then you can find it. It should be the first thing. Boom, Keep Watching. This is what you've been watching.
Yeah.
Here's this. And then the next one over should be, like, based on that, you should watch this.
Now, the interface on
none of that
the
is
Samsung
there.
App is also terrible.
Yeah, none of it's terrible. There. It's just bizarre.
I blame the parent company.
Disney?
Yep.
But it was like that before Disney was involved,
yes, it was always
so
like
you
that.
Can't. I mean, you can now, unless they change it. All that being said, let's get out of here, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah? It's late as fudge.
Super late.
It's 11:11 right now.
Holy
on
shit.
Wednesday, October
30th. I
got to
work in the morning.
Me fucking too.
I don't have to. Well,
earlier than you do. That's for sure.
I'm sure you do.
But all that being said, thanks everyone out there for listening to our show.
Thanks.
You guys are awesome, and we wouldn't do this without you. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And we're sorry we didn't put one out this last week.
No, we're not.
But, yeah. We're not. I don't care. I
retract my apology.
I was like, I want to put out a... No, I'm not. I'm not going to do that.
Let the last one linger. Let it linger.
Well, yeah. Everyone takes breaks, and we rarely take breaks. But with all that being said, thanks again for listening. This has been Life's a Binge. I am Jared.
I'm BJ.
I'm Rich.
And we'll
see
you on
the
couch.
Happy birthday.
Life's a Binge.
Bow, 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 bow,
bow,
bow,
mostly a slave.
This has been a Life's a Binge production. Be sure and leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever else you find the show. You can find us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. Join the phone army by dialing 619-438-0532. And if all else fails, check out our website at lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and as always, we'll see you on the couch.
What could I do? Okay, all right.